Did you sleep much last night? Teddy asked, managing a smile. Yes, actually, Lake lied. Good. I take it you are willing to accept our deal.
Deal?
I didn't know it was exactly a deal. Oh, yes, Mr. Lake. It's exactly a deal. We promise to get you elected, and you promise to double defense spending and get ready for the Russians. Then you have a deal. That's good, Mr. Lake. I'm very pleased. You'll make an excellent candidate and a fine president. The words rang through Lake's ears, and he couldn't believe them. President Lake. President Aaron Lake. He'd paced the floor until 5 that morning, trying to convince himself that the White House was being offered to him. It seemed too easy. And as hard as he tried, he couldn't ignore the trappings. The Oval Office, all those jets and helicopters, the world to be traveled, 100 aides at his beck and call, state dinners with the most powerful people in the world. And, above all, a place in history. Oh, yes. Teddy had himself a deal.
Let's talk about the campaign itself, Teddy said. I think you should announce 2 days after New Hampshire. Let the dust settle. Let the winners get their 15 minutes, and let the losers sling more mud. Then announce.
That's pretty fast, Lake said.
We don't have a lot of time. We ignore New Hampshire and get ready for Arizona and Michigan on February 22nd. It's imperative that you win those 2 states. When you do, you establish yourself as a serious candidate, and you're set for the month of March.
I was thinking of announcing back home, somewhere in Phoenix.
Michigan's better. It's a bigger state, 58 delegates compared to 24 for Arizona. You'll be expected to win at home. If you win in Michigan on the same day, then you're a candidate to be reckoned with. Announce in Michigan first, then do it again hours later in your home district.
An excellent idea.
There's a helicopter plant in Flint, D.L. Trilling. They have a large hangar, 4,000 workers. The CEO is a man I can talk to.
Book it, Lake said, certain that Teddy had already chatted with the CEO.
Can you start filming ads day after tomorrow?
I can do anything, Lake said, settling into the passenger seat. It was becoming obvious who was driving the bus.
With your approval, we'll hire an outside consulting group to front the ads and publicity. But we have better people here, and they won't cost you anything.
Not that money will be a problem, you understand. I think $100 million should cover things.
It should. Anyway, we'll start working on the TV ads today. I think you'll like them. They're total gloom and doom. The miserable shape of our military, all sorts of threats from abroad, Armageddon, that sort of stuff. They'll scare the hell out of people. We'll plug in your name and face in a few brief words, and in no time you'll be the most famous politician in the country. Fame won't win the election. No, it won't. But money will. Money buys television and polls, and that's all it takes.
I'd like to think the message is important.
Oh, it is, Mr. Lake, and our message is far more important than tax cuts and affirmative action and abortion and trust and family values and all the other silliness we're hearing. Our message is life and death. Our message will change the world and protect our affluence. That's all we really care about.
Lake was nodding his agreement. Protect the economy. Keep the peace, and American voters would elect anyone.
I have a good man to run the campaign, Lake said, anxious to offer something.
Who?
Mike Schirra, my chief of staff. He's my closest advisor, a man I trust implicitly.
Any experience on the national level?
Teddy asked, knowing full well there was none.
No, but he's quite capable.
That's fine. It's your campaign.
Lake smiled and nodded at the same time.
That was good to hear. He was beginning to wonder.
What about Vice President? Teddy asked. I have a couple of names. Senator Nance of Michigan is an old friend. There is also Governor Geis from Texas.
Teddy received the names with careful deliberation. Not bad selections, really, though Geis would never work. He was a rich boy who'd skated through college and golf through his 30s, then spent a fortune of his father's money to purchase the governor's mansion for 4 years. Besides, they wouldn't have to worry about Texas.
I like Nance, Teddy said.
Then Nance it would be, Lake almost said.
They talked about money for an hour, the first wave from the PACs, and how to accept instant millions without creating too much suspicion. Then the second wave from the defense contractors. Then the third wave of cash and other untraceables.
There'd be a fourth wave Lake would never know about. Depending on the polls, Teddy Maynard and his organization would be prepared to literally haul boxes filled with cash into union halls and black churches and white VFWs in places like Chicago and Detroit and Memphis and throughout the Deep South. Working with locals they were already identifying, they would be prepared to buy every vote they could find. The more Teddy pondered his plan, the more convinced he became that the election would be won by Mr. Aaron Lake.